Our sermon text for today comes from the book of Mark, Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God. A couple of things I need to tell you about this passage before we get started is most of you know about the religious leaders. And in Israel, the religious leaders were the ones who were in charge. And in Jesus' day, they had even made agreements with the Roman government that they would be able to rule the people, to control them. Now, the Roman government thought this was great. It meant they didn't have to do as much because the religious leaders would keep the people in line by telling them how they had to live their lives. And in return, the religious leaders got to keep their power in the country of Israel instead of Rome coming in and taking it away from them. The first one little story that we have here is about how the religious leaders love to be seen. And in our day and age, it's kind of the same way. There are people who really like to be seen. Some of them are actors and actresses. Some of them are professional athletes. Some are musicians. But it seems like every chance they get, they want to be in the news. They want to be seen. They want to be important. But on the other side of that, there are people who do horrible things. With all of these shootings we've had in the last couple of years, and all they want is for somebody just to hear their name and to be noticed. So being noticed, having people know your name, for some people is of great importance. That's why they choose to do what they do. Some people go into politics because they want people to see their name. Not everybody. And not everybody goes into acting or singing or professional sports so that everybody would know their name. Some people do it because they've got a gift or an ability to do that. I could probably name you right now a whole bunch of professional athletes that you've probably never heard of. And there's probably singers out there and actors and actresses out there that you've never heard of. But we all know that there are some who just, every time something happens, they want to be noticed. They're not even concerned if what they say makes any sense. They just want to be heard. And that's how the religious leaders of Jesus' day were. They wanted to be noticed. They would stand on the street corners and give long, lengthy prayers so that people would know that they were good religious people. They would do everything they could to have everybody know that they were somebody important. If you invited them to a feast, they had to sit in an important spot. And in a feast, you had all of the people who were invited because they were friends or relatives. They sat on one level, but your guests sat on another level, on an upper level. it wasn't a huge upper level, but it was high enough that they were above everybody else, so that everybody would know that these were people who were important. And that's where the religious leaders wanted to be. Now, Jesus, when he came into the world, it seems like the most common thing he said is, "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody about me. Don't tell anybody that I healed you. Don't tell people about me." Yet, everywhere he went, everybody knew who he was. Because the difference is, when you're into self-promotion, you really got to work at it. But if you're being sold by what you do, if people know you because you're accomplishing great things, because you're doing things, then you don't have to work at it. You just have to be who you are. And that's what Jesus was doing. When a church is known because of what it does, because of how it lives out the commands of Jesus Christ in their everyday life, people notice that. You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on advertisements. And we hear them all the time on the radio, churches advertising about what they're doing. And it seems like the bigger the church is, the more they advertise. But I'm not sure that that's the way we're going to reach people. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. You may reach some people. But you're more likely to reach people if they see you living out what you preach, practicing what you claim to believe. If you do that, people are going to notice. People are going to see that, and they're going to want to be a part of who you are. I titled the sermon, Attitude, Not Altitude. We like to be seen and noticed. I mean, I like it, not a lot, a little bit, for people to say, "Oh, you're so-and-so, you're so-and-so's pastor," or to be out somewhere and have somebody introduce me. "This is my new pastor." That, hopefully, the new part will go away soon. "But this is our new pastor." But what we need to do is have an attitude of service and have people know, not necessarily what our name is, but people say, "Oh, you go to Phelps Church? We know what they do. They do this and this and this." You don't have to tell them, because if we're following the commands of Jesus Christ, then people are going to know who we are. The next thing, that the next story, and these two actually go together. The next little story that we have in this passage is about Jesus sitting across from the temple treasury. And in the temple treasury, I've got to explain this to you so you understand. There was a place where you put your offering. Did you ever notice that in the bottom of our offering plates, there's a little felt pad? Do you ever wonder why that is? Exactly. So people can't hear how much you put in. That's a Protestant thing. We don't want people to know. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. So we put a felt pad in the bottom of our offering plates so that when you drop your... Now we give checks and paper money, but it used to be that most money was coin. And so people could hear what you dropped in. So we stopped that by putting pads in the bottom of our offering plates. In Jesus' day, they had a place in the temple wall where you would go and drop your offering. And the way it was is it went down through a copper tube, and this copper tube almost looked like a great big huge long horn. Have you seen those Nordic horns that they blow? They're big, long. That's what it looked like. And so as you dropped your money, and you can imagine, it's making noise all the way down. And the heavier the money you dropped in, the bigger the money, the more noise it would make. So these religious leaders would come and they would drop money in. And I'm sure that over time they perfected being able to drop it in so that it was a continual noise going down. Not just one big noise, but a continual noise so that everybody knows just how much you're giving. And along comes this widow. And Jesus tells us that she put in two little tiny copper coins, not even worth a penny. They weren't worth hardly anything, but they were all she had. And she dropped them in, and there's no weight to them. They're little tiny things. They're barely going to make any noise at all. In fact, people may not even know that you put anything in. But Jesus said, this woman has given more than anyone else. Not because of the amount that she gave, but because of the percentage that she gave of what she had. Now, we in this country are very wealthy people. Even the poorest of us is wealthy. And we're called to give. We're called to give to God, not because God needs our money. God has absolutely no need of our money. If God has something he wants us to do, he will provide the money. He will give us what we need to do the jobs that he's called us to do. So why do we give? Because giving for us is reminding us that we are committed to God. We are committed to what God is doing. We're committed to being a part of what God is doing. I remember having a woman ask me one time, and she was very serious about it. She was serious about her tithe and how much she should give. She said, should I give of my gross or my net? And I don't know why I said it, but the first thing off of my head was, well, do you want God's net blessing or gross blessing? But the point is, when we give to God, it shows that we're committed to him. We're committed to what he is doing through us. Now, today is Veterans Day. And those of you who are veterans will know exactly what I'm talking about. When you join the military, there's no part way. You go to boot camp and they take pretty near everything you have and give you what you need. Well, even if you don't need it, they decide what you get. And you give yourself completely. You have to become a part of the military. You become part of that unit that you join. You march in step. You do everything. You eat in step. You do everything at the same time. You become a part of that. You commit yourself fully to being a part of that group, even to the point of being willing to give your life. In the church, we're asked to do the same thing. We're asked to give of ourselves completely. Now, when I was in seminary, they told us, they put a big circle on the board, and inside that circle, they put a smaller circle. They said, the big circle is the church. And inside of the circle, the little circle, they said, these are the people who are truly committed to doing what God wants to do. And they put 10% in there. Now, that may be the case in big churches where you have huge amounts of people. In fact, most large churches, if they can get 10 to 20% of the people who are members of their church to come to worship every day, they think they're accomplishing great things. We in the little church know that on an average Sunday, we get 50 to 90% of our members in church because people are committed. I think in the little church, you have to be committed. You hold 37 different jobs. You've got to do all kinds of different things. And so you're committed to the church. And that's why in my ministry, I've always wanted to be a small church pastor. Because it's wonderful to see people who are willing to live out what they believe and to grow in their faith. People who are willing to put in the time that it takes. Now, you could be doing all kinds of other things. You wouldn't have to be here on Wednesday night. I'm not sure if Dancing with the Stars is on Wednesday night, but I know one Bible study that I had, we had to be done at a certain time because Dancing with the Stars came on and we had to be home. So you could be doing other things. I've been told throughout the years that, you know, you have to keep the sermon short if you have the late service because the football game starts at noon. So there's all kinds of different things we could do, but we need to be committed to God. We need to give ourselves fully to Him, not just so everybody notices, but because that's what we're called to do. This widow gave everything. And it's not about go and sell all that you have and give it to God. God doesn't need it. But if you want to sell everything you have and give it to God because you want to sell out and commit to Him, go for it. But if you just want to give more of your time and more of your abilities and more of the things that He's blessed you with, that's great too. It's not about how much you give. It's about your attitude. Are you willing to serve God? Are you willing to give Him all that you have? That doesn't mean He wants it all. He just wants you to be willing, to have an attitude that says, I'll serve you with all that I have. Because if you don't have that attitude and you try to do it for other reasons, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to find that, oh, it's Wednesday night again and I got to go to the church and we got to do those bags for the kids. But when you do it, because God has called you to do it, and you know that this is touching lives with the love of God, then you do it with a whole different attitude. In the church, attitude is important. That's what keeps the church going. That's what keeps the church growing. It's not about everybody knowing who we are. And there are a lot of people who recognize this church. When I found out I was coming here, people said, is that the little church right off the highway that you can see from the highway? That's the one. They may not know the name, but they know where you sit. But that's not what it's about. It's about serving God. And when we commit to do that, God will bless us. And God will do great things. When He left to go to heaven, He promised the disciples that they would do greater things than He did. And the promise is to the church. If we will follow Jesus, He will do great things through us. Amen.